Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us Mr. Ken Jenkins on the line. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Very good. Good to be with you.
Okay, fine. And Ken, why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll know a little bit about you?
Well, by trade, I'm a video producer, and But since 9/11, I've been very interested in trying to figure out what's really going on because the official story doesn't seem to hold up, and I've been doing a lot of research and reading and doing presentations, and so that's one of my prime interests these days is trying to get the truth out about that particular mystery.
Well, you know, it was really very interesting. It was just a week ago, actually a week ago tomorrow, when on 60 Minutes 2, the head of the Mossad, which is the intelligence agency of Israel,
yeah,
was interviewed on the 60 Minutes 2 and said that September 11th was the beginning of World War III. And I really believe that's true. I believe we're in a world war today, and of course what's happening in Afghanistan and Iraq are just the beginning of the series of wars we're going to be fighting. So it's important to understand what really did happen. Now, of course, the American people believe that we had 19 terrorists who crashed planes into the World Trade Center, both towers, and of course into the Pentagon. They believe that the heroic group of Americans on the plane seized the plane over Pennsylvania, and of course the crashed it into the ground. But the problem is that there are a lot of strange and unanswered questions, like,
yes,
why were there passports from the hijackers that survived both of those attacks? And we actually have a picture of one that was on the FBI page, that out of this plane that just crashed directly into the ground, why one of the passports of one of the hijackers survived, and yet nothing else hardly survived. I can only assume he rolled down a window and threw it out before the plane could crashed, and it must have happened the same thing at the World Trade Center. Now,
yes.
Is somebody deceiving the American people? What's your take on it, Ken?
Well, that's a very big question. Let me just start by saying I do agree that I see the potential for this leading to World War III. I don't personally think we're going to go that far. I think we're going to stop this before it gets to that point. But I do agree with you that that's the plan, that this is one of a series of wars that are are in the plan, and that it could lead potentially to a World War III type of situation. I guess I'm a little optimistic in that I think that we're going to stop short of that, but I'm a little pessimistic in that it may take a few years to, you know, turn this thing around, and in those few years.
All right, well, I hope you're right, and I hope I'm wrong, because I've been studying this for 40 years, and I think that what we're seeing today has been in the planning for decades, for many decades.
And I think that's an important point that people need to understand to get the context for 9/11, is that this is part of a pattern, as you say, that's been underway for quite some time and is revealed with things like the PNAC, the Project for the New American Century, which you can go do a search online and find all about.
Now, you're talking about going to www.anewamericancentury.org. That's anewamericancentury.org. Let me suggest that every one of our listeners get or buy or borrow a computer and go to that website and read who is in this organization and see the plan that they had starting in 1997 for a new international order for a war with Iraq. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is, of course, Ken Jenkins, and he's a video producer, but he's been very, very concerned about what's happening in our society, and as a result of that, of course, he's been spending a lot of time recently going back and analyzing and researching what happened. So what have you really found about what happened that day, and who was perhaps behind these people? Certainly Osama bin Laden is involved. There are these radical Islamic fundamentalists out there who hate America. But what's wrong with the official party line, as we've been given it, that Osama bin Laden planned this whole thing? He is the reason that these men came to America. He financed these men, and then, of course, they attacked America. And then, of course, to get Osama bin Laden, we had to go over and do away with the Taliban in Afghanistan and install Karzai, who is the, for all intents and purposes, the dictator of Afghanistan. And then we had to go after Osama bin Laden because somehow Osama bin Laden was behind the attack and he has weapons of mass destruction. And I don't know what the excuse is going to be for all the other wars that are coming, but what's wrong with this scenario? I stated it.
Well, you said it well, that there's always some excuse, there's always some pretext, and apparently what I have studied in the last year and a half is that there's always a pretext for war, and that's the basic pattern that I'd like to expose using 9/11 as an example, that for each war that there's some kind of manufactured deceit or pretext or excuse that's put together, and it often is based on lies. Like, for instance, the current war is based on lies of a connection between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, and it's all lies.
But of course, Saddam Hussein is a wicked individual, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's not a nice guy, there's no question, and everybody'd like to see him gone, but that doesn't necessarily justify killing God knows how many Iraqis in order to accomplish that. But more important is this pattern that 9/11 points out, that there's a pretext. Now, you'd mentioned, where does bin Laden fit into this? And to me, he's the patsy. He's the sort of Lee Harvey Oswald in this particular thing where, yeah, there's probably some involvement. There's some evidence that those terrorists really were on the planes, although that isn't even certain. But that the real important point to understand is that an operation like 9/11 could not have been pulled off without help from the inside.
In other words, somebody had to tell the planes not to take off that
exactly.
morning.
That's
somebody had to not specifically warn the airlines. Somebody had to tell the passengers, just be passive, don't resist if anybody wants to take over. Somebody had to have taken the armed marshals we had on our planes off them. They were there until 1993. Did you know that? Somebody
yeah, and the big point that you mentioned.
Well, we're
going to
have just a moment. We'll be right back here as the last of our stations will be joining here, us, and then we won't have any more of these interruptions.
Okay,
just a moment here.
Sure.
We'll be have the other. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Ken Jenkins. And Ken is a video producer who's really been intrigued with what really happened on September 11th. And he's asking that question because, of course, that was the watershed event that brought us to where we are today. So you pick up the story from there, Ken.
Well, we were just talking about what sort of evidence exists that 9/11 was an inside job, that there were a lot of irregularities and questions about why, for instance, our defenses that are normally in place to take care of things like hijacked planes didn't function that particular day. And that's probably the biggest smoking gun of this particular mystery, is the thing about the stand down of the planes that you mentioned, that we have in this country normal defensive procedures with NORAD and so forth, where if any plane is off course for more than a few minutes and detected, they are, of course, immediately contacted to find out what's wrong. And if they don't respond, then jets are immediately and routinely scrambled within minutes to get up there and find out what's going on, find out what's wrong with that plane, and so forth. There's the example of the Payne Weber jet from a few years ago that was off course, and within 10 minutes, there's jets up there trying to figure out what's going on.
And yet, of course, on the morning of 9/11, there were no jets scrambled. Well, they did scramble a couple of them
eventually
from Cape Cod, and of course, that's really only about just a few hundred miles away. These jets go, 18 miles an hour, and yet they arrived 12 minutes late. They would have had time to stop for coffee and donuts and breakfast along the way. Somebody specifically gave orders the planes were supposed to be up there.
Exactly.
I've done programs. In fact, there was a fellow who would follow me from station to station. He'd know which station I was going to be on, and whenever I'd come on, he would insist that he'd talk to the commander there, the Andrews Air Force Base and Langley Air Force Base, both just minutes away from Washington, D.C., where they had planes ready to go on constant alert, especially because the whole nation was on alert because they knew there was going to be an attack.
Right.
The military bases were on attack, and this commander said, oh, no, we just didn't have any any planes available. No planes to defend our nation's capital.
Right, although in the last 20 years, there have been literally hundreds of cases where when any plane was off course for and not reporting back, that jets were routinely scrambled. So there's only one exception in the last 20 years, and that's September 11th when four planes were off. And so there's a big question there and many unanswered questions and no investigations, really. Of course, the official investigation originally to be headed by Henry Kissinger, one of the biggest cover-up artists of all time, and the investigation resisted by the administration and so forth raises even more questions. But
I can't understand why the administration, if they were going to pick anybody to try to get to the truth, would go to Henry Kissinger, who's actually been indicted all throughout the world for his treachery and betrayal of the people of Guatemala and of Chile and you know, for ordering death squads to kill people. And, and one reason we don't want to go in the International Criminal Court is because Henry Kissinger would be indicted and carted away in chains.
Exactly, and so they put him in charge. It's like it's like they're almost telling us that they're trying to cover this thing up, and the question, of course, why. And so the thing with the scrambling the jets is it does tend to point to very high up in our government to where those orders would have emanated in order to keep the standard operating procedure from occurring as it has hundreds of times in the last few decades. And that's our biggest smoking gun. Now there's a long list of evidence that we can talk about. But of all the evidence, that's the biggie and the one that needs to be most questioned, and especially in view of the fact that if one were to accept the incompetence theory, which is the alternative to the kind of theory that we're putting together, then there you would expect to be some kind of reprimand, some kind of action taken to question and to discipline the people that supposedly failed so miserably to protect our country that day, and that there's been none of that. In fact, the person most in charge, Myers, was promoted. So there's so many questions there as to what went wrong that day and why the jets weren't scrambled and why our country wasn't defended as it normally is.
And, of course, George Tenet, who was a holdover from the Janet Reno, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton regime, was congratulated for a job well done. The president did not admonish him, did not fire him.
Right.
You would think that that's what they would have done. How could that have been a good job with 3,000 Americans dead? And for our listeners out there, there's a book we carry written by a former CIA agent, former chief CIA agent in northern Iraq in 1995, named Robert Byrd. And in that book, in the foreword to the book, he simply says that he had been told by a reporter friend of his the reporter had been told off the record by one of the highest-ranking CIA officials that when the dust settled after 9/11, the American people would realize that this was not a failure for the intelligence agencies, but a triumph. Not a failure, but a triumph. How could the death of 3,000 Americans be a triumph? Well, I doubt that that reporter will be asked to testify before the investigation, because we can't let the American people begin to think that this justified Afghanistan, this justified Iraq, and this will be used to justify the coming wars.
Iran and Syria and all the ones that are planned next.
And of course, you know, one of the, of course, the vice president, Dick Cheney. Are you acquainted with this project for the New American Century Group and their writings?
Oh, absolutely. We were talking about that a little while ago, and it really gives a blueprint to the what's going on in terms of which countries are going to be attacked and when, and the defense budgets. And one of the most interesting things related to 9/11 with the PNAC, or the Project for the New American Century, is that they specifically say in their writings that this is prior to 9/11, that they needed a new Pearl Harbor. And that 9/11, of course, qualified. And mentioning Pearl Harbor is one of the things that I have uncovered in my studies to establish the pattern of how this kind of deceit leads to wars. It turns out that not only was this country warned about Pearl Harbor well ahead of time, Roosevelt had gotten numerous warnings from numerous sources, and this has been documented by the BBC in a documentary shown on the History Channel back in 98, that we had ample warnings to Pearl Harbor, which we ignored. But there's another part that isn't in that particular documentary, is that Roosevelt specifically requested and received what became an 8-point plan to instigate that war. In other words, to essentially forced Japan to attack us.
That was a plan that was put out by Lieutenant Commander McCullough.
Yes.
And that's covered in an excellent book which we carry called Day of Deceit. We carry another book, Infamy Revisited. We have a great four-tape set with the author of Day of Deceit, and of course John Tolan. We have interviews with all of them. The four-tape set on Pearl Harbor is one of the finest four tapes we have out of our collection. So you're absolutely right, and it seems that this is the way it always is. We had to have the Gulf of Tonkin to get into Vietnam, only there wasn't a Gulf of Tonkin.
Right, exactly, and that's the point, that this pattern of deceit has played out throughout history. It's traced back all the way back to Roman days and used by Hitler in Germany and so forth. And it's this pattern that I'm most interested in exposing, because when the truth of 9/11 comes out in a big way, which I believe it eventually will, it's going to bust the game completely. It'll be a turning point in our history, where when the masses of people are aware that 9/11 was an inside job and that these kinds of attacks on people, of citizens, are routinely done to justify wars, then it won't be possible to pull that off again, and we're going to be able to make war obsolete. And I think in the long term, that's where we're heading with this, even though in the short term, it's going to be a rough ride.
Well, you know, Ken, what they're doing today is they're polarizing us. Those people in favor of the war, those people against the war.
Yes.
But the people who are against the war are against the war for all the wrong reasons. They're not going to say, look, what was this really all about? What's the real goal and objective? Who's doing this? No, they're just, they're just out demonstrating, and some of them are, and I believe they're agent provocateurs.
Yes.
I think that the anti-war movement is infiltrated and is being used just as the anti-war movement was used 40 years ago during the Vietnam era.
It might be a little different, though, that I think that the current administration is so arrogant and so sure of themselves that they're not even bothering to infiltrate the peace movement in the same way that was done with Vietnam. They just figure, hey, that's a little small bother, and we can do what we want because we control the media. And that's really one of the major points that I'd like everyone to know, is how controlled our major media is, and thank goodness for alternatives like this show. But that the television networks and the major newspapers are now so well controlled and so well under the thumb of the propaganda machine of the government that they don't have to make as much effort to, for instance, infiltrate peace movements, because they've got the people. They're able to sell the lies, like on this particular war, the lies about the connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, which are all manufactured and all lies. But they've managed to repeat that lie often enough on enough networks that a shocking number of Americans actually believe those lies. And it was even documented that they now believe that a number of the 19 supposed terrorists on the planes came from Iraq, which, of course, was never claimed by anybody.
Well, you know, I think it was Dr. Goebbels who said it really doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, eventually the people will come to believe.
And sadly and unfortunately, that's true, and it's been demonstrated so clearly here in just the last few months with this war on Iraq, that they just kept coming up with these various things that were, you know, shortly shown to be untrue, but they said them often enough, and eventually people accepted, oh, okay, Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11, so it's okay to attack him because he's, you know, threatening this country. And it's all lies.
Well, of course, I think that the most important thing is a realization that we have kept Saddam Hussein in power.
Yes.
And I would suggest every one of our listeners read the book See No Evil by Robert Baer. And he will tell you why every Iraqi he met, and that was his statement, every Iraqi I met believed, and he was living in Iraq, every Iraqi believed that, of course, the United States government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. If there is any glimpse of truth in that, why we must very well begin to ask, what indeed is going on? Would our leaders have left Saddam Hussein in power after the first Gulf War? Would they have allowed him to use his helicopters to kill the people? Would we have allowed him to continue smuggling oil so he could build up his military in preparation for this oil? And why can't we find Saddam Hussein? We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. This is Dr. Stan. Do you ever feel sort of run down, that you need more energy? Well, let me tell you about a product. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly, and I've used this for close to 10 years, and my family has used it. We've been very, very happy with it. And it, recently, the company came and offered to sponsor us for a month, so we certainly agreed to that. We think it's a great, great product. It's made from the royal jelly that comes from the beehive. This is what the queen bee eats. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you're not completely satisfied and you don't have more energy, just give them a call. But if you'd like to get Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And I'm sure you're going to be very, very satisfied with the product. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. And then, of course, I want to mention that there's going to be a conspiracy conference. And our guest today, Ken Jenkins, is going to be speaking there. It's going to be held on May 24th, May 25th. That's a Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be held in Santa Clara. There are going to be speakers from all across the country. And they're going to be bringing out various aspects of what's going on. And I'm quite impressed by the list of people. In fact, I was flattered to be asked myself to speak. So I'll be there. That's on the Memorial Day weekend. If you'd like more information, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website, which is conspiracycon.com. Pardon me, conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracy conference, but it's just con.com. And then let me mention that certainly in times like this, you should have a good water filter. Not only is it great to have if you have any problems with your water, but if we were to have some sort of an emergency, the one thing you'd want to be able to actually filter your water, and of course there's the Big Berkey. It's a wonderful water filter. It's a design that's been used by missionaries throughout the world for well over 150 years. They use ceramic filters. It filters about 25 gallons a day, the Big Berkey does, and it'll filter out bacteria and fungi and all sorts of things. You can actually take pond water and you can take the river water and run it through there, and it'll come out the bottom clean and potable. Now, the one thing I have to tell you, these are $279. They're available for $239 through Radio Liberty. And, of course, you'll get a free four-tape set or video that we've produced if you order it through us by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But the Big Berkey is not available in either California or in Iowa. But I'll tell you a few minutes later what you can get that is available right here in California. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Ken Jenkins. And Ken, do you have a website that you'd like to get out there so people would know how to get your material? I understand that you are working with a lady who has a website.
Yes, and there's a nice master website that I recommend. One of the things that Carol and I, that you just mentioned, do at the various peace rallies and at events that we do is pass out these deception dollars. And what they are is they look, at first glance, a little bit like a normal dollar, but they're bigger, and they have all kinds of websites on them, a total of 20, actually. And if you go to their website, which is just deceptiondollar.com, then it becomes the master site to click onto these other 20, including Carol's Community Currency website, which is an excellent one. And hers is so good that I decided not to reinvent the wheel and just refer people to hers.
All right, fine. And so, you know, basically, there are a lot of websites up there that will list all of the incredible things that happened, you know, leading up to 9-1-1. And when they say we had no idea, how could we possibly think anybody would crash a plane into one of our buildings? This had been known since the early 1980s.
Yes.
They had known that the Iranians actually had a camp where they were actually training for this. There were many government reports that talked about this danger, and
yes,
they knew the World Trade Center was a target.
Yes.
Those of you who read the book on September 11th, Prior Knowledge, by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, he tells the story of this little Pakistani boy sitting in a classroom in New York City, points out the window and says, a week from now, the Twin Towers, a week from now, they won't be there. And a week later, of course, they were destroyed. There were a lot of people who knew the attack was coming. FBI agents went to David Shippers. They went to my friend, Dr. Garth Nicholson, and told them there's going to be an attack. They even told Garth Nicholson it was going to be on September 11th. They did not mention the Trade Towers. They told him about the Pentagon was going to be attacked. And, of course, this was well known by people in high positions in government, which is why many high official government officials canceled their trips for the 11th of September, why
yes,
Mayor Willie Brown was told not to fly.
Yes.
But isn't it interesting? They didn't tell the American people that day.
Yeah, and that's so true, all of what you're saying, that there were ample warnings from multiple countries, from multiple sources, all of which were ignored, and that this country has very specifically planned for just this kind of attack for many, many years, and it's just one more piece of evidence, because, you know, the official story that came out from Condi Rice and others is that, oh, nobody ever imagined something like this would happen, and that's just purely lies. They had literally specific plans to deal with these kinds of things. And, of course, the World Trade Centers themselves were designed to withstand the impact of the current jets at the time, which was a 707, and they were able to withstand that, and they were designed for it. So this was known, these kinds of things were known for, as you say, decades as possibilities, and the idea of using planes as weapons was very common knowledge amongst all the various governmental agencies and so forth, and so they were just out and out lying when they said that wasn't so.
Let me just suggest to our listeners, if you would like to read the testimony on September 18th of last year before the Senate Intelligence Committee by Kristen Breitweiser, whose husband, Ron Breitweiser, died in the World Trade Center in the South Tower. That's our October newsletter, and you can either pull it down off the Internet, or we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the October newsletter if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, when Kristen testified before the Intelligence Committee, why, of course, the cameras were there, the reporters were there, but the most amazing thing, why you never saw it on television, as she pointed out, that within 2 hours, according to the New York Times, within 2 hours of the attack, the FBI was at the restaurants where the hijackers ate, at the schools where they trained, at the neighborhoods where they lived, and yet they had no idea the attack was coming and who these people were. You need to get that testimony, and then if you'd like to get the fact that this was planned, as they said in this project for the New American Century Report, we will not get this transformation, talking about how we were going to prepare our army to really dominate the world. This transformation will not be available unless there is a catastrophic and catalytic event like a new Pearl Harbor. And you want to get the quotation, the exact pages out of their documents, why you can call us and ask for our March newsletter. It's all there. And then you want to go to their website and check it. And, of course, who was there? Dick Cheney, the man who said immediately after the attack, why, we never thought this could happen.
Yes. Yeah, there's so many lies there. Is a point I'd like to make to kind of empower all the people out there about this kind of thing, that one of the tricks that's used to discredit this kind of this line of thinking is to just toss it off as a conspiracy nut, conspiracy theory, and just to throw that phrase out as a way to sort of discredit all this kind of thing. And so I normally start my presentations, and I certainly will at the upcoming Conspiracy Con that you mentioned, by talking a little bit...
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
With Ken Jenkins here at the Radio Liberty Network.
Our 4 tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4 tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of the things. First of all, we were telling a little earlier about the Big Berkey, a great water filter, but of course it isn't available in California. However, there is another water filter. It's called a Berkey Light, and instead of being stainless steel, it's transparent so you can see the water levels. Instead of having the ceramic filters, it has the black Berkey filters, and of course these will much better and more efficient filters. They're a little slower in working, and of course they have the one disadvantage that they have to be replaced every 2 years, but they work and work very efficiently. They take out, certainly there's no detectable bacteria that come through them, and it'll take out MTB and many, many other things. They are certainly the best filters that you can get any place. And this is the Berkey Light, and it is $199. You get the Berkey Light because you can get lights on the bottom if you want to for an extra $60, but certainly you get the Berkey Light, and of course if you get it through Radio Liberty, it's $199, and we throw in a video and a 4 tape set, of course. And this is available in every state other than Iowa. So that's the Berkey Light, and let me recommend, we just got ours, and we got it working, and we think it's an excellent, excellent product. So, and then, of course, if you would like to perhaps lay in some supplies and other things, because we're moving into very uncertain times, and, of course, when the crisis comes, you're not going to be able to get the items. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for a Ready Reserve food catalog. We'll send that to you free of charge. And then, of course, you could, if you find the items there that you'd like, and there's all sorts of items other than food, why give us a call and or fax that back to us. We'll be sure that you get these items. So that's a Ready Reserve food catalog. Just call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just saying we hope many of you out there will want to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can get all sorts of additional information. And right now, though, we've got, before we go to Bart, who's calling in, I'm going to ask Ken, you were about to tell us how you start your presentation, because they have conditioned the minds of the American people to believe that anybody who doesn't go along with what Barbara Walters and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Fox News says, obviously, is a conspiracy nut. So how do you counter that?
You were mentioning the upcoming Conspiracy Con. It's important to kind of diffuse that particular thing in order to be able to talk about these things and not be brushed aside as a conspiracy nut. Basically what I do is I just start with the dictionary. I define first what a conspiracy is according to the dictionary. It's simply a plan or agreement between two or more people to commit an illegal or subversive action according to the dictionary. And then it goes on to define a conspiracy theory as a belief that a particular event is the result of a secret plot rather than the actions of an individual or chance. And that's a key word, chance, because the alternative to conspiracy theory is coincidence theory. And that's how a lot of things are brushed off of, well, that's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence that the plane didn't get scrambled that day, and it's just a coincidence, and so forth. The point is, the other point that I'd like to make about conspiracy, to kind of put it into a perspective so people can talk about these things and not be brushed aside, First place, it's getting easier and easier these days because more and more obvious blatant conspiracies have been exposed. One of the obvious ones being the California energy crisis, which was clearly a conspiracy. And then, of course, the Enron and Arthur Andersen and that whole mess where there's all sorts of conspiracies going on there. So the point is that there are conspiracies and they are real. But the danger and why the conspiracy nut label gets thrown around is that there are those that want to think that everything's a conspiracy and every thing comes down to some small elite that's controlling everything. And I personally believe that's just as erroneous as thinking nothing's a conspiracy, that somewhere in the gray zone in the middle of complexity, that there are conspiracies, but not everything's a conspiracy. And so I like to put all that out up front so people understand what a conspiracy is, and so we can talk about these things rationally and not have this sort of emotional brush off of the conspiracy nut label.
Well, of course, I think that there are people who are out there who are intentionally putting out absurd facts, and they are doing everything to put themselves in a position to be discredited. Now, some of these are really nuts, but I think some people know exactly what they're doing. I think they're playing a part, and, of course, they tend to discredit people like you who are out there saying, look at the facts and look at what we really know. And any of our listeners that would like to read the book War on Freedom or see my video, 9-1-1 Contrived, or The War in Arabia, or certainly the book, Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, need to get the information, need to get the facts, or go through my letters. They're all up there on the web. Get them, and then, of course, get the documentation, because everything we have is documented. Right now, let's go to Bart calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Ken, I do have a question for you, but
yes.
please first allow me to say that I believe the ultimate destiny of our country rides on whether the public is able to be made aware of this information, and so therefore there could be no more important work than the work that you're doing, and I thank you for it.
Oh, thank you.
Sir, are you aware of the work that the former chief counsel for Bob Dole, Stanley Hilton, is doing? He has a class
yes.
action suit with 400 family members. These are family members of victims of the 9/11 attack
yes.
who are aware of what's going on, and this class action suit is against the Bush administration. And are you aware of this, sir, and
yes.
maybe joining forces with them a bit on it?
Yes, I'm very aware of them. I actually don't have the latest update on how their case is going, but this is a very important action that's taking place, and I'm really glad you brought it up.
You know, I believe that the strength in this may be in people like you and Stanley Hilton and others getting together, and possibly Stanley Hilton's class action suit could form the tip of the spear in this matter, and I really believe it's important for folks to get together, and I'll take my answer on the air, and thank you both very much.
Thank you. Okay, anything else you'd like to add to Bart was saying?
Well, I certainly agree. It is going to take a united effort of a lot of people working together to expose this lie, and I'm just a small part of that effort, and I really appreciate your input on that. The Stanley Hilton case is a very important one and can be one of the tools to help break this open.
Now, who are they actually going to be suing?
The case is against Bush and company, so to speak.
All right, fine. Because, of course, see, what they've done, they've offered these people $1 million or more if they'll just be quiet and not sue anybody, and they're telling them, you'll get this money, but if you sue, you're not going to get any of the goodies. So
hey, more bribery.
Keep your mouth shut. We'll pay you off with taxpayers' money,
yes.
But don't you dare sue. And what's amazing to me is so many of these people really feel so deeply they're willing to give up $1 million or more, to try to get to the bottom of this. And they've tried, of course, to bring lawsuits against the Saudi Arabians, who obviously were involved in it. 15 of the 19 people came from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden and his family came from Saudi Arabia. Certainly the Saudi Arabians have been financing Al-Qaeda. And if anybody doubts that, you need the book Hatred's Kingdom, which we carry. That's a new book by Regnery and goes into the background of, even as late as October, the end of October of last year, why one of the Saudi princes was meeting with the head of Hamas. But of course, we can't let the American people know that because we've been working hand in glove with the Saudis. So, and then of course the administration stepped in to block that, and they tried to block suits, to tie this into Saddam Hussein. Because when you have these lawsuits, you get discovery, and then you can begin to get the information.
Yeah.
Right now, let's go to I think we have a Roger. Let's see where Roger is here. Roger, is that you?
Yes. Thanks, gentlemen. And aren't you guys both just a bit ashamed that you don't subscribe to the alternative, that is the universality of ineptitude and mistakes theory?
Okay, fine. Do you have a question at all?
Never so stated as such by Limp Jaw and all the other bloviators. Well, I have two vitally important things, if you please. The first one, it's imperative that everyone call and write their senators and reps to head off this further consolidation of the medias, which is going to go down in June unless even Bill Moyers did a piece Thursday, Friday, on his otherwise totally worthless Bill Moyers Now show.
What are you talking about, Roger?
Well, that is, there's maybe upwards of 100 to 200 stations maximum that carry any Genesis or Radio Liberty or anything beyond the out of the box.
Yes.
Now, there's over 1,200 clear channel stations.
Yes.
And I'll bet you not one of them carries any of these truly alternative shows.
Okay, so what is this about?
Well, what it's about, you have to tell them that you do not want any further consolidation of the medias where they can wholly or substantially own entire markets.
Yes.
And if you can find a place on a diet, if you have an AM/FM in your area, count yourself very blessed and fortunate to receive this show.
The caller's Roger, I believe, is bringing up a really good point. I'd like to emphasize, back in 96, there was the Telecommunication Act of 1996, where our airwaves were sold away to the corporations, and that's one of the reasons there's been so much of this combining of turning the major airwaves into a monopoly. Well, now they're trying to do it much more. It's sort of like Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2. Patriot Act 1, you know, stealing so many of our basic civil rights from the Bill of Rights, and now they've got this Patriot Act 2 in the works trying to make it much worse. Well, in a similar way, the Telecommunication Act of 1996 made things bad, and now they're trying to make things worse. And the caller's absolutely correct that we need to contact our representatives and say, no, we do not want this further monopolizing of our airwaves, which will give them essentially total control of almost all the major airwaves.
And that's why, of course, it's so vitally important that people understand that the media, most of it is controlled, and, of course, the Genesis is doing such a great job. American Christian Network, pardon me, the American Freedom Network is doing a great job. Shortwave is doing a great job. But you've got to get people to understand that they do not want the American people to get the truth. Thanks so much.
I want to drop you a couple websites that will help buttress the case. Now, I struck out on the one called StopClearChannel.com. Maybe that's back, but I did find a lot of articles like William Sapphire on media giantism, etc., on one called ClearChannelSucks.com. You filter through the liberalism, you get the meat out of it, and it'll really help make the case. And second item could wait.
We got a full board. Thanks so much, Roger. Bye-bye. And let's go to Steve calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon to both you gentlemen. And I'll make this just as quick as possible. Certainly we do live in an age of propaganda and disinformation, and it's really hard for the average person to try and sort all this out. But I do have two quick questions, and I'll hang up and listen to the answer so you can move on to the next call. Question number one, the guest there, can he shed any light on the information that some of us received that the airliner that was flying over Pennsylvania was shot down?
All right, fine. Let's take that one question. Have you ever heard anything about perhaps that airliner over Pennsylvania being shot down?
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence to indicate that that's so. Probably the main one being that the debris was scattered over like 8 miles or something, which normally only would happen with a mid-air explosion rather than a collision into the ground. There's some real serious questions there. That's another piece of the puzzle.
And, of course, the thing is, all the people up there who saw that believe it was shot down in the air. But, go ahead. What's your other question, Steve?
My last question is, there is speculation out there. Don't have a clue whether it's true or not, that it was not a passenger jet that hit the Pentagon,
but
it was actually some kind of another aircraft that looked like a passenger airline or possibly a cruise missile.
Yes.
Don't know for sure, but I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, once again, there's some very strong evidence indicating that it wasn't Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon at all, but rather likely a cruise missile. There's the hole in the Pentagon wasn't anywhere near big enough for an airliner. The one picture that was released from the security cam shows a trail of white smoke. If it's characteristic of a missile and not an airliner, there's no sign of an airliner there. And to my eye, anyway, this is a controversy. I'm not saying this is certain, but there's some very and almost no debris recovered from inside the Pentagon, like the landing gear and the engines, and that would normally be recovered. So there's a very serious question about what actually hit the Pentagon, and of course what happened to the plane that supposedly didn't hit the Pentagon, and I could go into that if we had more time.
Okay, but let me just comment that I have actually talked to two people who swear that they saw the plane hit. I've talked to Stephen Push, whose wife was on the plane, and he, of course, has recovered at least some of the things of hers. He's firmly convinced that it was on the plane. I'm going to do him again later this week, and perhaps we can ask him if he received any of his wife's material.
Yeah, it's very questionable.
But what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is they're intentionally trying to confuse us. And when you understand they're trying to confuse us, then, of course, everything makes sense. Charlie from Pennsylvania, from Pittsburgh. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Dr. Stan. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Good evening to your guest.
Hi there. I actually went to college there in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon.
Oh, that's a very good school, I understand. They're doing a lot of work with robotics out here.
Oh, yeah. Very big.
Sir, this is kind of like a question that Dr. Stand asking. I'm sort of fixated on this, on the mind control aspects, and they've seemed like they've done it across the country. You take stuff that should be obvious to the average person, like, you know, their reason for going to war was because of the UN Resolution 1444, whatever it was. And then you had the UN said, no, we don't want to go to war. So, you know, there's like a contradiction in terms here, if you understand what I'm saying. And I was wondering what kind of success do you have with people when you're telling them things that should be logical and obvious to any rational person? But unless I'm missing something, I just want to tell you what I did.
You're going to have to go quick because we're just about out of time.
Okay,
I
called about that KGB. You know, they hired this KGB agent for Homeland Security.
Sure, okay.
And I was asking him, why would you hire a guy who used to torture his own citizens and execute them for political reasons here in this country if you're a Christian and a conservative? And only one person out of over 15 people actually mentioned that on that talk show from then on. And I'm extrapolating this to what you're talking about, that you're taking stuff that should seem like it's logical and reasonable, but they go with whatever's said on the television. I think it's really scary.
They control our minds because, of course, people, they hear Bill O'Reilly saying things, they think he's a conservative, you know, because everybody says he's a conservative. But, of course, it doesn't matter. If you say something often enough, doesn't matter how illogical it is, people will believe. Thanks so much
Gary
for calling. It is scary. But, of course, it's also there's spiritual forces out there, and I believe there's a spiritual blindness of our people. And right now we've got, is this Fritz from Maine?
Yeah. I think you really can't overestimate the gullibility of the American people. Rush Limbaugh, and this is illustrative of the power of the media, said on his show yesterday that the Iraqis had attacked New York and conquered Yankee Stadium. Now, he apparently was swamped with calls asking the people if the Iraqis had actually attacked New York. So that's what we're up against.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead.
And the question is, has anyone noticed that our women are being killed in combat without any public debate on the issue?
No, you have to understand the non-combatants. They're just, well, that's what they're trying to tell us. We were never to put women in combat, and yet, of course, we've armed them with weapons, and then we're surprised that they get killed.
Right.
Thanks so very much for calling.
Sure. The last two callers were both basically talking about how the propaganda machine is now controlling people's mind, that the major media that unfortunately is where most people get their news from television is so controlled and so distorted that people aren't so much gullible as they are, unfortunately, just getting a majority of their information from that source.
Well, let's go to George calling from Toronto. Boy, you've certainly got the... you pushed a button. We're getting all sorts of people calling. Hi, George. Question
yes,
or comment?
Good afternoon. Quick question.
Sure.
Building number 7.
Yes.
Any comments on that? Because it went down at 235, and I'll listen to you off the air. Thank you.
Yes. Building 7 is another big question in this old mystery. Building 7 was not hit by a plane, of course. And yet it also fell, and if you see the video of it falling, it looks exactly like a controlled demolition. Now, of course, that doesn't prove anything, but it raises a lot of questions. But the big question is, as been pointed out by a number of people, is that no steel frame building has ever fallen from fire before or after 9/11, but that day a bunch of buildings fell. And, you know, they can say, well, the main towers fell because planes hit them and all that, and there's a lot of questions about that. But with Building 7, there was no plane. And even the fires didn't seem to be all that hot, and yet that building fell as well. And so that there's a whole lot of questions about Building 7, and it's definitely part of the evidence.
Well, we're going to have to let you go, but thank you so much. We'll look forward to having you on our other programs here very, very soon.
I'm looking forward
to it. God bless you. Thanks so very much, Ken.
Thank you.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention another couple of things. You know, we carry Miracle 2 soap products here at Radio Liberty, and of course we carry them because, well, we think that they help people. Certainly most of the people who use these products are very, very happy with them. And so if you'd like to find out more, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, or if you'd like to get an introductory supply, certainly call that number, 1-800-544-8927. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion, a gel. And we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that an awful lot of the people who have used the products make all sorts of claims for them. They seem to love them. So that's Miracle 2 soap products. And we hope that you'll want to try them. We hope that you'll enjoy them. And then, of course, we also carry the Phonopoly sets, and this is a program to teach children how to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. And if you have your children or grandchildren in a government school, they are in all probability of being taught to read by the look-see method, which is designed to dumb them down, to confuse them. And you can actually reprogram their minds in 16 to 20 hours with this program. Phonopoly was actually created by Myrna Gulbraith, who wrote the Phonics game. She sold that. And then she produced this board game, fun game, played just like Monopoly, where you get houses and you get the property and you buy the property. But in the process, you begin to think phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. And I played it. I've had people 60 years old call and say how much they enjoyed it. They're going to play it again. And so if you really care, you want them, your children and grandchildren to learn to read, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The product is Phonopoly. Well, Everyone, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course this is the time when we want to remind our listeners that certainly Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And when you join the Radio Liberty family, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. Now, if you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter, you can. If you'd like a free copy of the March newsletter, and the March newsletter, of course, is basically the story of the project for the New American Century. And we take all the quotations from their website where they tell you that we're not going to have this transformation of our military so that we can dominate the world unless there is a catastrophic and catalytic event like another Pearl Harbor. Those are their words, not mine. You need to, of course, to get this newsletter. If you haven't had a newsletter before, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the March newsletter. Now, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com, and we have a lot of things that we think that you'd probably want to get there. And then, of course, we have a live programming, which you can listen to 3 hours a day, and you can connect with my other two programs from there, so that you'll spend 5 hours a day listening to the internet radio, and you won't get a thing accomplished. But, of course, maybe just a couple of hours a day, because we have many of our guests on several of the different programs. A number of archive programs there, my newsletters are there, the material on the population control agenda. It's all up there on our website, as well as essays written by some of our friends. So again, the website is radioliberty.com. Now we've been talking about, of course, a thought control, and we have a 4-tape set on thought control in America. We have this great book, it's called Regicide. It's the story of how the Central Intelligence Agency killed an American president. It's based upon the papers that were left to a friend of mine, Mr. Gregory Douglas, by Mr. Robert Crowley, who was Assistant Deputy Director of the CIA in charge of covert operations. They're the people who kill people. And Mr. Crowley openly talks about how they actually killed people and assassinated and why they arranged for the assassination of President Kennedy. They thought what they were doing was entirely proper. But even more important in that book is a list of 4,000 CIA assets. One of them just happened to be my next-door neighbor, a man I'd known for many, many years, but I'd always been just a little suspicious of him. I suppose maybe one reason I've survived is because I've been the Well, you're only paranoid when you imagine people are against you. Anyway, basically, you will go through this list. You'll find many of the people, key people in the media today, are on that CIA list, which is how the CIA is able to manipulate what the American people think. Now, they're not supposed to do this, but if CIA is violating the laws, who are you going to report them to? And if you do, you may, of course, find yourself in very, very real problems, because these people are ruthless, and they've run a murder incorporated for half a century, and nobody stands against them, not even the President of the United States, President Kennedy, who was going to dissolve the CIA, and, of course, that was not to be allowed. So, again, the book is Regicide. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5. HIV War, and we hope that many of you will want to get that book. I think it's an important book, and it's not available at some bookstores. It is available, of course, on Amazon, and maybe, of course, a couple of the others, but we hope you'll want to get it through Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we also want to talk to you about praying for America. We ask you to pray for this country. We ask you to pray for revival, because the American people don't turn back to God. We're going to lose America. Pray for our boys. Pray for their families. And pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
actually, you did do this afternoon.
Yeah.